think this is our first time recording on a Saturday.
It is. Well, that's because we had to do a rerun. You ready to do this again?
Let's try again. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Prosecco Theory.
Yes. Welcome, Michelle.
Welcome, Megan. Yeah, we tried to do this on Tuesday, but as some of you might know, Tuesday, November 3rd, there was a little election.
Mm-hmm. We needed to invoke some coping skills.
Self-care.
Yes.
We called it.
Yes.
It didn't go well.
To cut to the chase, there was a lot of drinks and we might have shared some edible, which resulted in a tragic attempt at recording this episode that we're having to re-record today.
I mean, we didn't get too far. We're not re-recording that much. We just, it was a shit show.
We're starting over. Like, yeah. It's a scrap and redo.
Completely.
It was ridiculous. In fact, we just listened to what we recorded and it was simultaneously hilarious and horrifying.
So embarrassing.
Thank God we didn't put that out there for the world to see. Except...
Well, we think that you guys deserve to hear a little bit of
it. We're going to put some of it out there. So, a couple of preliminary comments. Just know that there's a whole lot of throat clearing in this episode. A significant amount.
In the next 3 minutes, that is. Not this whole episode.
Right, right. In the terrible, trash-worthy episode. Which I apparently attributed to salsa.
Yeah, Megan thought it was chipotle salsa.
It was weed.
It was weed. Guys, it was weed.
Yeah. And I would like to note that I had a brilliant idea that apparently I wrote down. I guess I wanted to call the episode witty even when high.
As it turns out,
nothing could be further from the truth.
No, we were not witty at all.
We were not. All we did was laugh uncontrollably, clear our throats, and not really say anything articulate or really interesting. So
no,
we're going to give you a little taste of what you're missing, and then we're going to try to improve on that performance.
I don't think it'll take a whole lot to improve on that.
It's a low bar.
It's a really low bar.
So fast forward to today, Saturday, and we just learned this morning that the election results are pretty official. We know that
Biden
is the winner. Whew. Yep. We both feel like 1,000 pounds have been lifted off our shoulders.
Yeah.
It's been really stressful and anxious situation.
I don't think I realized how exhausted I was.
Yeah, I think the whole country feels that way. I mean, not just the election, you know, it's the whole fucking year, like coronavirus and pandemic and everything. In fact, I would like to note that Michelle and I have both purchased some amazing Christmas ornaments because, yes, believe it or not, Christmas is like a month and a half away.
Shut up.
From this gal on Etsy, her shop is called Don't Show Granny. And what I purchased is several ornaments called Fuck Flakes.
I got some too.
And they are basically the word fuck arranged in a beautiful snowflake style.
Very ornate snowflake.
And it says 2020 in the middle. We'll post a picture.
Yes, we will. And we'll link to her shop as well.
Yeah, I encourage you to check it out because these fuck flakes that I got are going on a lot of wine bottles that are getting passed out around the holidays this year.
Pretend like you're surprised, Megan's friends, when you get that Christmas present.
I'm a little excited about it. I probably already showed like half the people that are getting them.
That's fine.
Okay, so before we let them listen to our stellar recording from Tuesday, or at least snippets, we should probably explain what it is we're talking about today.
Yeah, our whole plan on our little podcast schedule, since we're such professionals,
you know it,
was to talk about tattoos today, or on Tuesday. When it didn't go well.
Yes. We usually record these like a week in advance. So the plan was to record the tattoo episode and release it next week like we always do. But unfortunately, we find ourselves in a situation where we're recording this a few days before releasing when we're not high, pathetic assholes.
It was a thing, guys. Are you ready to hear it? Should we let them into our secret world?
Okay.
Okay. Enjoy this 3 minutes of our embarrassment.
Absolute fuckery.
So, you have some tattoos.
I do. So do you.
This is so bad.
Cool. Oh, fuck. Sweaty balls. Oh, God. This is going to be real disjointed.
Oh, God, guys. We're going to try to pull it together.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay. Wait. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
What's your question?
Who got the first tattoo ever?
Like, between you and me?
No. I know the answer to that, you stupid. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you stupid. I was going to say something like, silly. I just called you stupid. I'm so sorry.
You dummy face.
You butthead.
You butthead. Oh, no.
Okay, sorry. The earliest known tattoo.
Okay. Okay, so like the oldest one. That's not going to stay in. I don't know what's happening.
Right, not the... Right, not the oldest. The oldest. I just keep picturing Alexis. From Schitt's Creek. Oh, man.
No one's going to listen to this.
Yeah, I don't know.
We tossed around a couple of ideas, and... this one stuck because as we looked into it a little deeper and the meaning behind it, you know, I already had heard, I knew about the,
that part's going to be fun to listen to. Throwaway episode. If you're going to skip one,
this is the one. Oh my God. And what does that mean to
This is like a bad interview.
So bad.
Oh God. Should we do this?
I don't think so.
A different night is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
That was the thing.
I can't believe we're single.
I hope you all enjoyed that.
And I hope you all appreciate that we're redoing this for you.
Yeah, you wouldn't have wanted to listen to that.
Now that we've got that out of our system, mm-hmm. let's actually talk about some real interesting shit instead of just reminiscing about that election where we got so high. Oh, God,
let's do it. So, Megan, why did you want to do an episode on tattoos?
I wanted to do an episode on tattoos because continuing our goal of destigmatizing things that people have preconceived ideas about, mm-hmm. I think, well, obviously you and I both have tattoos and we'll talk about that, but I think that a lot of people that don't have tattoos don't really necessarily understand the history and the culture behind it and why people get tattoos and what mm-hmm. they mean to them. So, I mean, I just thought it would be an interesting topic to explore that might change people's minds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the connotation has changed over the years so much.
So, dare I ask, who had the first documented tattoo?
The first, okay. That's a much clearer question.
Well, my mind's a little clearer than it was on Tuesday.
So, according to our good friend Wikipedia, the oldest known tattooed mummy, I believe this is pronounced Otzi, and this body was embedded in glacial ice in the Alps. It was dated back to 3250 BCE. Do you know what the E stands for on BCE?
I have no idea.
I've only ever heard BC.
Hang on, I'm Googling it.
Okay.
Before the Common Era, or before the current era. So it's not before Christ, it's before the current
era. I like that so much better.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
It's a non-denominational way of saying a long fucking time ago.
Yeah, it's the secular way. I'll take it. So studies have revealed that Otzi had 61 carbon ink tattoos consisting of 19 groups of simple dots and lines on his lower spine, left wrist, behind his right knee, and on his ankles. It has been argued that these tattoos were a form of healing because of their placement, though other explanations are plausible.
So are you saying that they were medicinal? They weren't there for any kind of decorative purpose, or they didn't have any cultural meaning? It appeared to be more of a health practice?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they can't ask the dude why he got tattoos, so it's just speculation, but it seems like, yeah, it's a therapeutic or medicinal practice at that point. And there's some other examples in the history of people having more medical tattoos. In the early 1700s, 1800s, there was a Jesuit missionary named Joseph Francois Lafitau. He recorded how indigenous people were applying tattoos to their skin and developed healing strategies in tattooing the jawline to treat toothaches.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Also, there was another article we looked at called The Cultural Heritage of Tattooing, A Brief History by Lars Krutak of the Smithsonian. And it says the medicinal aspects of tattooing have largely been underreported. Mummified tattoo remains of a Neolithic Iceman discovered in Europe in 1991 are the oldest known human evidence of curative tattooing, which was akin to acupuncture. More than 50 bluish-black tattoos were placed at major joint articulations, and radiographic analyses of the Iceman's corpse revealed considerable arthrosis in many of the same regions. So like lower back or lumbar spine, hip joints, knee joints, and ankle joints, etc.
Maybe that's how I can fix my back. I just need some tattoos on my lumbar.
Well, I feel like maybe if there was any medical evidence supporting that, maybe it Fair. Was acupuncture. I don't know. I mean, remember how like many, many, many years ago they used to like bleed someone?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does that exactly mean? They would like cut their wound and drain it, basically.
Let's get the demons
out. Bleed
out
a little bit. And I think that was just sort of their way to reduce swelling and fluid mm-hmm. buildup, and they thought it was healing.
Well, acupuncture's been around for so long.
I've done acupuncture. I think it's great.
I did it and I didn't feel any difference personally for me, but I know people who swear by it. This has got to just be a different form of that same kind of thing, except it's leaving a permanent mark.
I don't know. I guess so. Okay, so there's a medicinal component. What else is another reason historically people have been tattooed?
The Wikipedia article on tattooing has quite a thorough history. A couple that really stood out to me were the Samoan people and some of the Inuit nations. So in Samoan society, there has long been a definition by rank and title. There were tattooing ceremonies for young chiefs typically conducted at the time of puberty, which were part of their ascendance to the leadership role. And those permanent marks left by the tattoo artists would forever celebrate their endurance and dedication to cultural traditions. But those who could not endure the pain and abandoned their tattooing were left incomplete and would be forced to wear their mark of shame throughout their life. And this would forever bring shame upon their family. So it was avoided at all costs. Holy shit.
I mean, it's painful, but I don't know that it's like enough pain to avoid to be disowned by your family.
Well, maybe, but this is all very old. Yeah, well, they definitely didn't have the same equipment, so it took a lot longer.
I imagine
it's probably a longer and more painful process.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then some Inuit nations tattooed female faces and parts of their body to symbolize a girl transitioning into a woman, typically coinciding with the start of her first menstrual cycle, and a tattoo represented a woman's beauty, strength, and maturity. This was an important practice because some Inuit believed that a woman could not transition into the spirit world without tattoos on her skin.
Interesting. Speaking of women being tattooed, mm-hmm. I was really interested to learn that in modern day, the percentage of women who have tattoos are actually higher than men.
Yeah, in most places. It's not like a huge difference, but typically in most countries, women have more tattoos than men do.
Yeah, I did not expect that.
Right?
But in a way, I was kind of excited by that
statistic.
A little bit proud. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also saw a statistic that said the term tattoo is used in 3% of all female Tinder profiles.
It actually really surprises me that it's only 3%. That seems like a low number to me.
Well, do you think possibly women don't necessarily want to disclose that they have tattoos because maybe they think they're not supposed to?
Maybe. It doesn't say how they're mentioned in the Tinder profiles. It could be like, I love a tatted up dude, or I have tats.
All of those apply to me.
Sure. Me too.
I have that word in my profile. I'm not on Tinder, but on Bumble and whatever else I'm on. Hinge? Can't remember. This is another interesting / funny statistic. About 31% of men regret getting a tattoo of a name.
I'm surprised that's that low, frankly. Don't get tattoos of names, guys.
Those are the ones that'll admit it.
Unless it's your kids, that's fine.
Sure. So do you think people would be surprised to hear who is the most tattooed country?
Oh, I don't know. Honestly, I think I'm more surprised by the second most tattooed country.
All right, give us a top 3.
Okay. So,
and percentages, please.
Yes. According to Dahlia Research, based on an internet survey they did in 2018 of over 9,000 people across 18 countries, it showed that in Italy, 48% have tattoos.
So, granted, this is just based on that number of respondents. Right. But if that was a good sample, that would mean almost half the people in the country.
Right. And slightly below that at 47% is Sweden.
Yeah, that is surprising.
I don't know why. I don't actually know that much about Sweden. I don't know why it surprises me. I just wouldn't have thought. And then right below that at 46% is us here in the U.S.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
No.
So, you know, there's this belief that if you get one tattoo, then you're going to get more, mm-hmm. right? Like most people don't just get one tattoo and stop at that.
Yeah, I think the most common is to have two.
So some people think that getting a tattoo is like an addiction, mm-hmm. right? So we read some interesting information on that. Is that actually a fact? Can you be addicted to getting tattoos?
Well, according to an article by John Kelly for BBC called Why Do People Go Back for More and More Tattoos? It is generally misleading to talk about the practice in terms of addicts and dependents. And that is a quote from a psychologist at the University of Westminster named Viren Swamy. And he's done extensive research on people with tattoos. He said that people typically take between 2 and 7 years before getting their second tattoo. And if anything, people tend to consider their choices more carefully after their first. So it's not so much an addiction, and he thinks it's not good to talk about it in that way. Rather than feeling enthralled to an addiction or compulsion, on each subsequent session, the experience can give a sense of being in control, was how one woman put it.
For me, from personal experience, that time frame is probably about right between my first and second tattoos. But I felt like it was more, number one, I realized that I didn't need to fear the pain that much. Like, it does hurt, but it doesn't hurt to a point where I'm like, I would never do that again.
Right.
And second, I'm a fan of tattoos that have some sort of symbolic meaning for you, and that's why you get it. And so a lot of people have basically representations of their journey in life tattooed, and they like kind of those reminders of the positive things. Was it Johnny Depp said, my body is a journal and my tattoos are my story? So I think that there is a truth to that for a lot of people who are heavily tattooed, or, you know, people that have pieces that they work on that take several sessions and they have to go back over time. Like, they're committed to that artistic experience, even though it's painful, because they like the unique representation that it brings to them and their story.
Yeah, there are a ton of really fascinating statistics out there about tattoos and the industry and people with tattoos. There's an article for HuffPost by Reef Karim called Tattoo Psychology, Art or Self-Destruction, Modern Day Social Branding. And a couple little takeaways I got from that were, adults with tattoos have been shown to be more sexually active than control subjects without tattoos.
Why do you think that is?
Well, maybe it's because, number two, people with tattoos tend to be more likely to engage in higher risk behaviors.
That was not planned, but that works perfectly.
It did work perfectly. I mean, we both have tattoos and we both like sex a lot, so.
That's true, eh?
Okay. Women who get tattoos are more than twice as likely to get them removed as men.
Okay, can I just interject something here?
Please do.
I don't know this for a fact, and I have not researched it, but I have heard that the laser that they use to remove tattoo ink is the same as the laser that they use for laser hair removal.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is the truth, as somebody who has done laser hair removal, I will tell
extensively.
Yeah, in a lot of places. I will tell you, that hurts like a motherfucker. I mean, I'm not sorry that I did it, but you have to have multiple sessions for laser hair removal, just like you have to have multiple sessions.
It get worse and worse every time?
Yes, because they turn the laser up every time, the intensity of it. And you have to have multiple sessions to get a tattoo removed, too.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just go in there once and get it done. So I almost think that if you have a tattoo that you don't care for me personally, I would rather cover it with a new tattoo than get it removed with a laser, because if it is the same laser, that shit hurts. Although I really enjoy not having to shave my legs anymore.
Yeah, I'm pretty jealous of that, actually. Do you think that there are stereotypes still out there? That's a dumb question. There are. What do you think the stereotypes are for people who have tattoos?
I think some people have some negative connotation to tattoos because of some sad historical reference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a really popular book the last couple of years has been The Tattooist of Auschwitz. It's historical fiction, which I love. As a side note, there has been some criticism of that book because some people feel like there's some misrepresentations in there. Regardless, it is true that in concentration camps, people were tattooed with numbers. Particular numbers to identify them. And so that's horrifying, right? Mm-hmm. And so there might be a trigger for people that are uncomfortable with it. I completely understand and respect that. I also think that, you know, there's this stereotype or perception that people who get tattooed are reckless,
loose,
bad, loose people.
Criminals.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, of like jailhouse tattooing and stuff like that. And also, I think that there are some people that consider it degradation of your body, basically.
Your body is a temple.
Oh, God. I think I mentioned this in a prior episode. I did date a guy once for a little while who told me he did not care for my tattoos.
Fuck you, buddy.
At the time, I don't even have as many as I do now, but I think he just had like an image of like purity that I absolutely wasn't going to meet anyway. So,
Jesus Christ.
It's probably a good thing that that didn't work out.
Yeah.
It's like a little old fashioned, you know, like people now, there's so much skill and art in the whole process.
Yeah.
And people really like to express their individuality that way. And it's just not something that a lot of people realize actually now can be done safe and in a hygienic way. And that people want to use that as a form of personal expression.
So yeah, absolutely.
The tide is sort of turning. I mean, it's even used for like cosmetic purposes. We talked a little bit on a prior episode about tattoo artists that will tattoo like nipples on breasts of breast cancer survivors if they lose their nipples. I've had cosmetic tattooing just on my eyes. I had my eyeliner tattooed on.
I still do not know how you did that.
Well, my eyes watered a lot. I have a high pain tolerance, I think.
Clearly.
But it is really unnerving to have a tattoo machine, which, by the way, you're not supposed to call it a tattoo gun.
Yeah, apparently calling it a tattoo gun is incorrect, and it's a highly disliked term for a tattoo machine. That is the proper name for the device. It's based on Thomas Edison's design for an electric pen that I think was more of like etching into metal.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of the other day when you told me that we're not supposed to say committed suicide anymore.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say died by suicide. Died by suicide.
Because it's a very blaming way to say it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And I was actually reading an article, a really new article about something in the Seattle Times, and they used the term died by suicide. And so it reads awkwardly unless and until you know that that is the proper terminology.
PSA, so. Everybody.
Yeah. Anyway. I digress. Having a tattoo machine coming at your eye and needing to sit perfectly still so that the cosmetic artists can get that line tattooed on their evenly.
It's fucking terrifying.
It's a little hard, but you know, it's worth it if you don't have to put on eyeliner for what, it's been at least 5 years now for me.
Yeah, so that sounds about right. I would love to not have to put on eyeliner, and I would love to not have to shave my legs, and all of that sounds awful.
I know, I'm just realizing that I'm sounding like I definitely seem to support the beauty is pain approach.
I mean,
it's not even necessarily beauty. It's just like I'm lazy, people. I don't want to shave my legs. I don't want to put eyeliner on. I'm just going to get that all permanently taken care of.
I don't call it lazy. I call it highly motivated by convenience.
Efficient. We're laughing because on our terrible attempt at recording an episode on Tuesday, Michelle was explaining one of her tattoos, and I told her that it was efficient.
An efficient tattoo.
What the fuck?
I don't even know. Oh, God. Okay. There's one other historical connotation that I think is maybe still a little, well, not pervasive anymore, but it certainly was for a long, long time. And that is the idea that like sailors had tattoos, right?
Yeah.
In the mid to late 1700s, British Captain James Cook, who was making voyages to the South Pacific, and when he and his men returned home to Europe, they told tales of, forgive this, it's quoted, tattooed savages that they had seen.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fucking terrible. But, you know, I guess it was the 1700s. Because they had seen this, clearly they were taken by it, and many of Cook's men, who were, quote, ordinary seamen, they came back with tattoos, and that was, I think, how the tradition of tattoos being associated with men of the sea came to be.
I also think that people say things like, well, yeah, that tattoo looks cool, but how's that going to look when you're 90 or whatever? Mm-hmm.
Well, of course it's going to change. Your body will change.
When I'm 90, I'm not going to give a fuck. I'm probably going to look at that tattoo and be like, yeah, that recalls a really great memory or moment in my life for me. I am not going to do things now so that I can look good or feel fulfilled when I'm 90.
No.
You only live once, right?
YOLO. You know, unless you've got no regrets tattooed across your chest, then you're probably going to be just fine with it, because hopefully it was a decision you made with some thought.
Well, tattoo artists are technically not supposed to tattoo people who are drunk. I'm sure it happens all the time, but
that's why they're open so late, man.
I know, but I don't know. I think if you were truly wasted and you wanted to get something ridiculous, they probably would be like, no, because probably not worth the liability to them, right? If somebody comes back in sober the next day and is like, what the fuck?
Well, you sign shit when you go in there.
When you're impacted or under the influence. Yeah.
But you sign things, like you sign a waiver, a disclaimer or whatever, when you go in there to say, like, I am responsible for this choice I'm making, and I understand that this is permanent, right?
Yes, you sign it, but you're not of sound mind when you sign it. And every tattoo shop that I've ever been to has had language within their little contract or liability waiver that says, we will not tattoo you if you appear to be under the influence.
Right.
So I'm sure it happens, you know, where people are drunk or buzzed or whatever. But I think if you were just flat out wasted, they'd probably say no. That probably depends on the shop, right?
I'm sure. When I was probably 19, I was working as an intern at a law firm. And one of the litigation clerks, he came back from a long weekend away in Mexico. And I had such a crush on this guy. I was like, how was your weekend? And he's like, well, I got really drunk. And this was like a blonde, very Scandinavian looking dude.
Okay.
And he came back from Mexico with the fucking Mexican flag tattooed on his ankle.
Oh boy. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I was just looking up the average salary of a tattoo artist, and there is quite a wide range of salary. But you can definitely make some pretty damn good money if you're really good. And some of these artists truly are artists. Like if you look at their work and their portfolio or whatever, it is amazing what they're able to do. One of my tattoos, my largest tattoo, the tattoo artist just did freehand, and I put a lot of trust into him because I just let him do it, but it turned out pretty cool, I think, and he didn't use a stencil or anything. He just went for it, so.
That's awesome. Okay, so we've done a little bit of the history and the culture and all that, the terminology. Let's talk about ours.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. So, Michelle, how many tattoos do you have?
I have three. How many do you have?
I have, let's see.
Three and a half?
Well, it's a little complicated because I have one that's a cover.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll count that as two. And then I have my tattooed eyeliner. So.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
So I guess that would be six if you counted my eyeliner.
And what's under the cover?
Right.
Right. Okay. So how old were you when you got your first?
Let me think. I think I was about 24, maybe 25.
Okay. And what was it, and where, and why, and tell me all the things.
It was that typical experience where I went with a friend. She was getting a tattoo. Mm-hmm. And then while I was there, you know, I went ahead and got
Might as well.
That happens to people all the time. Mm-hmm. So it was the classic tramp stamp. Remember that era?
Oh, yes, I do.
Lower back tattoo.
It wasn't. In case you don't know what a tramp stamp.
I didn't have, you know, quite as much depth and life experience as I have now when I was 24. I mean, I'd been through some things. So anyway, later on, that's why I got it covered, because it just kind of wasn't very meaningful. So how old were you when you got your first tattoo?
I was 39. It was 2 years ago.
Coming in late to the game.
I'm a late bloomer, but making up for lost time.
Yeah, you're kind of starting to racking them up pretty quickly.
Yes, but not an addiction. No.
What is your first tattoo? I mean, I already know, but
you do.
Tell the listeners.
Tell the people.
I had kind of wanted a tattoo for years, but I really didn't know what I wanted. And I knew that I wanted it to mean something and to be something I would like permanently. And I took it seriously. And so I didn't do it for a really long time. And then a really good group of girlfriends of mine, we started talking about we should all get a tattoo together. And as we were throwing ideas around, somebody threw out the idea of an olive branch. And I think we've all heard the standard definition of extending an olive branch to somebody. You're trying to make peace, right? As I did a little bit of research on it, at least for me, it became really clear that I love the idea of, well, I liked the way it looked and I loved the idea. And the research that I did talked about how olive trees are really resilient. They grow in incredibly rocky, like difficult terrain, and you can cut them down to nothing and they'll come back stronger than ever. And you can take the fruit that they produce and beat the shit out of it, and it turns into something delicious. You get some olive oil. I was going through so much at that time.
Nobody was beating the shit out of you, to be clear, right?
Oh, no, sorry. No.
It's like, wait, what?
Wow. No, Megan, no, that's not, no. Just the idea that you can put this through so, so much turmoil and trauma, and it can still come out amazing and strong and delicious and resilient. And and I'm fucking delicious. Make
yes,
no mistake.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I like it. I like it.
Yes.
And it's a very cool looking tattoo.
I love it. So a few of us have the same tattoo, and it's just, it was a cool bonding experience.
That's what I was going to say. It kind of bonded you guys together as friends. That's cool.
Totally.
Okay, so now I'll go.
Your turn. What's next?
So the cover that I have of that one tattoo when I was 24, this is the one that the guy who did it, he was really talented. He was working at a really well-known tattoo parlor here in Seattle, and then he kind of branched out and tried to go out on his own. So I went and saw him right when he was trying to get his own place started.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a high level of skill for not as much money as I probably would have had to pay if I had gone to the shop he worked at before.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I had like a little consultation appointment with him in advance, and I showed him the tattoo and I told him that I wanted to cover it. The other cool thing is, like, as the artist, he kind of helped me brainstorm ideas for what I might want, what's important to me, whatever. And it wasn't just about like, tell me what you want, I'll slap it on there and take your check, right?
Right.
And so anyway, he ended up doing this tree on my back. I mean, I won't go into the whole conversation because I'll take too long, but basically I got it done at a point in my life where I was going through a large transition, and I really had to like root myself in that place that I was at and be prepared for some growth, you know, personally and for my family, kind of like a family tree situation. And I really had to like be the one to put down those roots and be the stability. And so anyway, he did some other cool embellishing on it. He asked me, of course, before he did everything, but because he was doing it on my back, I couldn't really see it. So fortunately, I was really happy with it when he was done. But again, it's just another one of those situations where I just kind of like took a leap of faith, because at the end of the day, it's like, it's not do or die, you know, it's a tattoo cover. Mm-hmm. If I don't like it, I suppose I can change it. But I had enough faith in him and seeing his portfolio and everything that I knew he would do something cool and unique. And so I still really like it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The second one I got was right before I turned 40, so it was my second tattoo, still 39, and it is a geometric representation of a breathing exercise that I had seen a video of, and essentially the shapes expand, and as they expand, you breathe in, and as they contract, you breathe out. Maybe we'll post a video of it, because I think everyone could use a good breathing exercise right now.
Oh yeah, we should put that in the link.
Absolutely. Oh. I love it. It is a good permanent reminder for me to breathe, and I've had, like I said, enough upheaval and instability over the last several years that having that permanent reminder is a good idea. And maybe that's why you thought it was efficient, because it's just right there in front of me all the time.
Yeah, I thought it was efficient because instead of having to think about like the whole video and go to the YouTube site and put it on,
right,
you could just look down at
reminder.
It and remember.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I'll take it.
This next tattoo that I got, I was 37, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I got my eyeliner tattooed on before that, but who fucking cares?
We already talked about that.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
The next tattoo I got, it's on my wrist and it says, "Let it be." A couple of reasons that tattoo has meaning for me. The first one is also a reminder, kind of like the tattoo that you just described. Mm-hmm. I'm a rather type A personality.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I've had to be, honestly, being a single mom for a long time and having a lot going on professionally. And so it's just kind of a reminder about not being able to always control everything all the time. Sometimes you just have to let things play out, just let it be, and it will happen as it should. It also has meaning for me because everyone knows that Let It Be is like a famous Beatles song. Paul McCartney actually wrote about his mom who had passed away and came to him in a dream to try to comfort him and told him that she was okay and he needs to just let it be. And I got that tattoo not too long before my mom passed away. And so it's also kind of a reminder of that, you know, those lyrics and, you know, you don't have control in life over things that happen. And sometimes you just have to let it be and, you know, move on and react to things around you instead of thinking you can control how everything will occur. Okay, and since I have more than you, I'll go again.
Yes, do it. What's next?
The next thing I have is three birds tattooed on my wrist, kind of flying up into my forearm on my other arm. And those three birds are for me and my two daughters. So that's basically the meaning behind that.
That's a good little family representation.
You know it.
Okay, so we actually went a month ago.
Yep.
And got new tattoos, the two of us. Well, there were several of us, but you and I were both there.
And they're not matching.
No, they're not matching. So I wanted to get something to honor my parents. And I started with the idea after my dad died of getting something as a tribute to him. And then that morphed into wanting to honor both my parents and their relationship and the kind of yin-yang that they always had. And so I got on my inner bicep. It's like a wave crashing into a mountain. And it's all one fluid piece. It's fairly small. It only took about 10 minutes, but holy fuck.
Yeah, you had a moment there. That was like the palest I've ever seen you. I thought you were going to pass out.
Yeah, I almost passed out and I almost threw up. That was rough.
It was kind of a combination, right? You hadn't really eaten. That's a pretty sensitive spot.
Yep, a very sensitive spot. I hadn't eaten. I had had a drink right before. It was hot in there and I was wearing a mask. And so I couldn't like fully breathe.
Right.
When I needed the deep breathing to calm myself down.
You couldn't look at your efficient breathe tattoo and
no, I could not.
Help yourself out there.
I had my eyes closed and I was like, tell me stories. Somebody distract me. And then they were like, oh my God, are you going to die? What's happening? Yeah.
It wasn't that dramatic, but we were definitely concerned.
Yeah. No, I looked sickly. Anyway, it only took about 10 minutes and I love it so much. And it did hurt like a motherfucker, but I'm so happy with
it. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, me too.
See, it's worth it in the long run.
Totally. Yeah. And that's why I like the small like line art ones because they're quick.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got one that took actually less time than I thought, but is much more detailed and took longer than mine that same day. What did you get?
Yeah, I got a circle and part of it is a compass and part of it is a clock. And so it's for like time and direction. And the compass is set to the northwest, which is my second home here, the Pacific Northwest. And there's an arrow running through it that looks like it's kind of shot through it, which an arrow through a compass tattoo is supposed to signify like a new direction. There's more to it than that, but I'll leave it at that. Just something that I've wanted for a while that goes with experience. Mm-hmm. And it's on the same arm that I have my Let It Be tattoo on the wrist. And
it's pointing like right to it. Right?
Kind of all ties together. Yeah.
Yeah. What's funny is when you showed me that design at first and you said it was all about time and direction, my first thought was like, I have a friend who has a winery in Walla Walla called Time and Direction, and it's such good wine.
I know. That's crazy.
Yeah.
We should drink a bottle of that wine sometime on this podcast.
I absolutely think we should. I will order more. Steve, we're coming for you.
Well, I feel like there's a lot more we could say about tattoos and we have other interesting research, but we're getting a little long-winded here, so maybe we should wrap it up because
Biden's about to speak and we need to go listen. Hell yeah.
Yeah, and we did what we could to save this train wreck from the Tuesday attempt. So,
and be fully transparent with our embarrassing, ridiculous failure.
Hopefully you got a laugh out of it.
Yes.
Because I have contributed to some things that I think we need to post. The Fuck Flake, the Time and Direction Winery.
Absolutely.
I will do you a solid and say, everybody, please.
Yay!
Can hardly do it without loving.
You got it.
Please go to our website, prosecotheory.com. You can send us an email, cheers@prosecotheory.com. We are on all the social media that Michelle does a stellar job managing.
Sometimes.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. What the fuck else is there?
That's it.
Every now and again, at like a wild card, I'll throw like a picture or something up there.
On Twitter only, because that's the only one she does.
Well, I will throw you a picture and say, put this on our Instagram.
Yes.
So, you know, I do contribute a little, but Michelle's much better at the socials than I am. So there you go.
Yeah. Show us your tattoos, guys. Let us know.
We want to see them.
We want to see them. Okay. Let's cheers to tattoos and to the next 4 years and new fucking directions.
This is a new time, new direction.
That's right.
And the arrow's pointing the right way today.
Fuck yeah.
Cheers.